Production. Recorded live.
Hello, everybody. This is Rick, and it's the 10th of June, 2013, and this is the AR Library call and the EMSO call. So we have two questions today. Let's go ahead and get started with those. First question today. My husband and I are about a year into recovery. Let me begin that again. My husband and I are about a year into recovery. We have been seeing a therapist who specializes in affair recovery. There has been quite a bit of progress made, but as you well know, much more to go. I learned of my husband's infidelities in the span of about 3 months. The pattern of his affairs seemed to fit the sexual addiction category, with the last of his affairs becoming emotionally involved as well. Prior to the revelation of his last affair, I had no suspicions of anything. The affairs occurred over a time span of about 3 to 4 years. I have a few questions that are on the forefront of my thoughts right now. I am still very much struggling with intrusive thoughts. I think about the affairs the majority of my day. The intensity of the pain may have subsided a bit, but the thoughts remain the dominating factor in my life. Is there anything I can do to help minimize this? So let's begin with that first question. So if you're about a year into recovery, I would say that for sure I'm glad the intensity has subsided, but the frequency should also or normally would have subsided for most people by now. And if it's still dominating your life, that must be absolutely miserable. And some of the things that I think, and maybe you've already made this decision, but making a decision in yourself that you're tired of letting it dominate your life, sometimes it's kind of a beginning spot. Just saying, okay, staying stuck on this thing isn't helping me to go forward, and what I need to do something different so that it doesn't keep driving me crazy. Cindy Beal has a pretty good book. I just cannot think of Cindy's book right now. I would also suggest, but that would be a good read. I would also suggest, if you've not done Harboring Hope, potentially just kind of processing will help move it beyond that point. And finally, another technique would be individual therapy using eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, EMDR. Frequently, the trauma event is such that if you can just process through a few things, it'll quit dominating. But you're going to need to come up with a plan, whether it's EMDR, doing something like Harboring Hope, anything along that line to help you finish processing. Grieving sometimes has a little bit to do with it. There's, in fact, the newsletter coming out this week is on grieving. But come up with a plan of how you're going to begin to change it. And literally, what you're going to do instead of dwelling on it, what's the course of action when it begins to occur. Hopefully that would help you begin to do something a bit different. Because I know that's got to be miserable. And again, just the plan, whether it be EMDR or another course in processing and grieving, sometimes it's just hard to get your mind around it. So I hope that'll give you at least a few suggestions. Second, I also tend to do the rapid-fire questioning with my husband quite frequently, just to find it leaves me feeling pretty devastated. I go back through the names, the people, and through the acts to make sure there's no additional information. At times, there are more details that my husband has remembered and that have been related to the affairs. The basis of the story remains the same, but the details are what kills me. Is there a way I can avoid an incessant need for this type of questioning? I'm not sure what it really does except leaves the two of us feeling down. Any ideas? Yeah, back to why you're doing this. This is a battle you have to fight within yourself. And the question you need to ask yourself is, is doing this process, asking more questions, getting more detail, is it helping me move forward or is it keeping me stuck? From what I'm hearing through these questions, it's keeping you stuck. For that reason, I would suggest, again, coming up with a plan with your husband of what to do whenever you feel that need to begin asking the questions. And ask yourself the question. Write the questions down first. Ask yourself, again, if I got the answer, is it going to help me move forward or backwards? Pray about it for 24 hours. Don't ask anything real time, because it's going to be helpful if you can at least stop and think about it. Get an accountability partner who will also hold you accountable to begin changing this. Hopefully they could give you some really good ideas of how to avoid going back to that place. If you'll also look at the library, there was a series I did on change, how to change habits in the past. And if you'll read those change articles, you may be able to come up with a plan of how to change the habit. Because sometimes this becomes a habit, the questioning, and reading through those or working through coming up with a different habit loop could also be helpful. Lastly, I'm encountering a huge obstacle living in the same city where all these infidelities occurred. There is an area of town that I pass by that is a huge part of my husband's last affair where it occurred, and it is controlling my activities. How can this possibly be overcome? I have a constant fear of running into one of the affair partners. The fear stems from the deep pain associated with seeing them. It also stems from a pride thing. I truly want to be free from this, but I have no idea how to do it. Any recommendations for this? So one of my clients a few years ago, and I thought this was an amazing thing, literally had she and her husband, she had him drive her every place where they had ever acted out. He'd acted out with his affair partners, and there were many, many of them. And as they would go through to each place, she would stop and she prayed over each location, because ultimately she wanted to reclaim her city for herself. And somehow the place, the process of just facing it and praying over each one of them and reclaiming it for her and having her husband there with her really began to set her free. She felt like she owned those places once again. She was no longer a captive to driving by them. The second thing, you know, come up with what you would say to each affair partner and just rehearse it over and over again, so that instead of being fearful of what you would do, you already know how you're going to respond. I think that you'll find that process to be helpful. And when you think of the affair partners, when you get intrusive thoughts about them, the final thing I would do is just pray for them. Just say, God bless them, they didn't get it. And please don't give them what they deserve, God. But if you can release that. And finally, I think reminding yourself all the time, I understand the fear of what they would think, the problem with the pride that you've been made a fool of. But ultimately, you know and I know, your husband chose to be with you, not with them. And so praying and forgiving them and understanding, just hoping that they could see God's forgiveness and God's love through you, when that becomes your prayer and the primary concern is for them and their lost state rather than what it's going to what they might think of you, then you'll begin to get free. If we're thinking about what others think about us, the problem is we're still self-centered. I mean, in other words, you're just thinking about somebody else. If you're still thinking about you, means you're still thinking about you just through their eyes. Move beyond that and try to move to a place of compassion and just understand that these people need serious help. And hopefully as you forgive them, and as you pray that God's forgiveness will shine through you toward them, God can redeem maybe part of what's happened to give you freedom from what's happening. Okay, now, for our next question. Rick, I feel like I'm going backwards since EMS. The pain lately seems to get worse instead of better the more I think about my husband's affairs. The affairs were intentional. He wanted them. He didn't want me. He knew it would hurt me. He says he never stopped loving me. That's so hard to understand. He says he's sorry now that I caught him, and he doesn't want a divorce. He says he loves me and has only ever loved me, even though he told both of his APs that he loved them. He seems to fall more and more in love with me the more intimate we are, as he did with them. That makes me wonder if he knows what true love is. Now, as I keep understanding more of his mindset and ask him, is this how it was? How could you hurt me like this? How could you love me? He gets defensive and feels like I'm attacking him. So I guess my question is, could he actually have loved me and done all of this? How do I find out? How do I know if he knows what love is? Is it normal for men to relate love to sexual intimacy? And if so, then do they fall in love with whoever they have sex with? And if that's the case, why is love love? What does all that mean? I'm so lost. My husband keeps telling me that he thinks I'm not in this for the long run, like he says, he is now committed. And he keeps telling me that he thinks I will never get over this and that I'm going to leave. What if I start to believe him? Am I really committed and believe in restoration? I just want to be safe and know for sure that I'm restoring is real. I want to know what love is and if my husband really loves me. What if I couldn't be physically intimate with him because of an accident? I don't know if he could love me. Help. I'm from the Mother's Day EMS weekend. Okay, so let me go down to where the questions begin here. Because you asked some interesting questions. You ask, now as I keep understanding more of his mindset and ask him, is this how it was with them? Okay, this just makes me wonder, does he really know how to love? He gets defensive and feels like I'm hurting. See, understanding more of his mindset, is this how it was? How could you have hurt me like this? How could you love me? He gets defensive and feels like I'm attacking him. So let's start there. Most likely, people will say things in an affair that they honestly don't mean. They're playing out a fantasy, an illusion that really isn't there. I mean, did he truly love those people? Absolutely not. Did he lust after something? Absolutely. Was he acting in their best interest? Not at all. Love always acts in the best interest of another person. So I will tell you, once you got caught up in all of this, that wasn't anything to do with love. Because you're a woman, you basically have what I call the VH connection, a vagina-heart connection, where your heart's very connected to what happens with you sexually. He, on the other hand, his penis is on the outside of his body. And it, truly, men will act out almost as if it's masturbation and not really be thinking of the other person in the way that you think. So there's the danger is assumed similarities where you feel like his reasons for being sexual would be the same as yours. As a woman, if you were to do this, I can almost guarantee you, you wouldn't love your husband. You would have to be completely disconnected to him before that could happen. For him, sad to say, and especially if he's got some addictive tendencies, he can do this and still really want to be married and still care about you simultaneously. It's as if he's got two sets of books. So could he have loved you? Now, is he loving you well? Not at all. But could he still want to be with you and loving you as he understood it? Probably, but he was also probably blaming you during those times to justify. So he wasn't really in his right mind, but that doesn't mean that he didn't love you or didn't care. Is it normal for men to relate love to sexual intimacy? Absolutely. For most women, love equals sex. For most men, sex equals love. In fact, that old line, if you love me, you will. Now, that doesn't mean he loved these women, but men as a whole, if someone is sexual with them, interpret that as love. It really has nothing to do with love. However, it's a point in time when they feel loved. And so I would suspect that he did probably feel something at that point, but that's a feeling and has nothing to do with reality. Could he have loved you and done all of this? I think he probably wasn't thinking about the love, but yes, I think he could probably care and still. People sometimes are committed to stay, but they're not committed not to stray for whatever reason. They begin to give themselves permission, and it's not okay. How do I know if he knows what love is? You know, all of us are going to grow in our understanding of love. Probably just the fact that you still are there with him is teaching him something of love he's never understood before. Is it normal for men to relate love? You already answered that one. If so, do they fall in love with whomever they have sex with? Absolutely not. They don't fall in love. They just think that the other person loves them, and it has nothing to do with it. It's a misnomer. But because of the chemicals released, that's when men feel loved. It doesn't mean that they love. And I, obviously, he's very afraid. You said, my husband keeps telling me he thinks I'm not in this for the long haul or in the long run, and he says he's committed, he's afraid that I'm not. Tell him that just the fact that you're here is a huge commitment, and he needs to quit telling you and trying to get something from you. He needs to love you and to be patient with you, and if he does that, you'll be safe. Tell him to give you space and to let you take time. I want to be safe and know for sure what I'm restoring is real. You know, it will be real if the two of you stay with it and keep moving through it, but it is a roller coaster and it will take time. I hope the two of you can stay the course as you work through this and find real healing. So with that, I want to thank everybody for writing in. I look forward to the questions for next week. And, again, I hope everybody has a good week. Keep those questions coming, please, to healing.